car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. This is an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Boomer Tech Radio. And hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio live from the sumptuous Plainview Motel in Coos Bay.
Sumptuous is not the word I
Sumptuous,
mean.
Yeah, it's not exactly.
Sumptuous.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to speak up just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
We are.
There we go. Now I can
we
hear
are live,
better.
As Jack Rebney, our friend, is fond of saying, through the miracle of electronics, we are coming to you from Oregon, where we are currently on vacation, and you making the best use of technology.
It's all an experiment.
It is, it is. So, Jared, if you would just type in if you're getting really good audio from us, we would appreciate that. So we get a little indication that, okay, Casey and ours. So we're using Skype to communicate back and forth with the studio rather than spend $10,000 on super expensive remote gear.
We might explain who we are and what we're doing and what show this is.
Regular. If you're not a regular listener of this show, welcome to Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belagi.
And I'm Brenda Belagi.
We are brought to you each and every week in the Reading area by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. Note how that just rolls right off my tongue.
Yes, and the great thing about this experiment is that hopefully in about a year we're going to start doing a little bit of wandering around, but we still want to continue to bring you Boomer Tech Radio in some form, and so we've been trying to figure out how to operate on the road, sounding like we're in a studio or some such. And so this is a great test of the technology to figure out how to make that work.
Right. So if you have a question, the telephone connection back through Skype and then back to the radio station might be a little dodgy. If you have a question, Jared, who's our producer and doing a he's keeping us on the straight and narrow here, he may have to take your question and then type it to me. We do have the KCNR chat room up at KCNR1460.com. Click on Listen and Chat. Maria Salas, well, I don't know how old. I think that's an older chat there. But if you want to hop into the chat room, you can type in questions there because I'm monitoring it. So we're using a lot of different pieces of technology to do the show today. For one thing, we recorded my son Alan yesterday on a Skype connection, and we recorded that into an old laptop of mine. And we're going to talk about repurposing your old laptops rather than sending them off to the scrap heap. Laptops, desktops that still have life, but they don't necessarily run the latest and greatest operating system or software. There are still ways to make that old hardware work for you rather than just doing what the manufacturers want, throwing it out.
So Windows 7 is a good example where it won't be supported at some point. And then what preceded Windows 7? XP?
Yeah.
I forget the operating systems.
They XP was before 7.
Right. So you still could have a machine that runs XP really well, which was a good, solid operating system. You just don't connect it to the web because of security issues.
There are a number of things that a computer can do. We did computers for a lot of years that didn't go on the internet. You know, this is only in the last 15 years that it has become an absolute necessity that a PC has to tie to the internet in order to do anything. You can still do a lot of word processing. You can still play some games.
You can have it do tasks.
Right. And in the case of this Dell laptop, this 17-inch Dell I have that's getting a little old, It wants to do an update, so I had to turn off the Wi-Fi so it's not trying to update, because we used it yesterday just as a recorder to pre-record the show with Alan, and that's its only purpose. So it's sitting here waiting. I have an old Kindle Fire that right now is serving as my clock. There's a site called NIST.gov that is the national time, and it corrects for your location. So the most it's ever off is a few milliseconds, and so that's how we're tracking, because, of course, in radio, time is everything.
I think you posted a picture, did you not, of your little setup here?
I will be posting. Now, I'm still using Facebook a little bit, and I know that a lot of people are abandoning Facebook. But I'm still using it a little bit to promote the show. I'm certainly not using it as much as I was.
And in a non-segue to this, we'll get back to that in a second. If we sound like we're in a tin can, it's because we're in a room that has hard walls without all the usual studio padding and that sort of thing. So hopefully we don't sound like we're in a tin can too much. We shouldn't with the headsets we have on, but we'll find out. At any rate, back to your thing, which precipitated a question, the social media use and so on and so forth, precipitated a question from someone.
Right. One of our listeners and somebody who I work with frequently wanted to know about, because Yahoo and AOL, of course, are now combined and Verizon owns them both. And a new set of terms of service went out, because let's face it, if an email service or a web service is, quote, free,
it's not really free.
You are the product.
Right.
So they are harvesting your data.
Your information is the product. Yes.
And this listener had a big question about, how do I set up my email so my data is not being harvested and they're tracking my every move? You have to – you're not going to do it for free.
That's not easy.
Because if it's free – that
it's easy, but it's not free.
Right. So there's a number of sources to be able to if you're going through a web interface, in other words, you type in Gmail or Hotmail or Outlook or whatever. Now, the Outlook application comes built in. It's still doing some cookies. What a lot of people like to do, and I thought that these folks had packed up and gone home, but Mozilla is a company that does a lot of open source stuff, and they do the Firefox browser, which is very popular with a lot of people. It's still an open source project. It is not necessarily backed by major corporations, and a lot of people like the Mozilla browser. Now, it fell out of favor with me because it wasn't keeping up with some of the trends. I found it a lot easier to use Gmail, but there's times when Gmail just creeps me out, because I will look up something on my Chrome browser, and the next day, that exact product pops up on my Facebook feed.
You've looked it up on a different computer.
Yeah.
That's the part that freaks me out. I'll be on my laptop, and I've looked something up, and it shows up on my tablet. Or, vice versa, I've been looking at something up on my tablet, and then when I get on my laptop, of course, it's all linked through accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's linked through Google, or it's linked through,
this
Gmail
is all the
or
data
whatever.
Harvesting.
Yeah, but it's like, I looked that up yesterday on that other device, which is going to have a separate IP address and things like that. It's just, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Also, Gmail, Outlook, and all these other services routinely, and this is in that terms of service.
Yeah, that nobody reads.
And this is what brought this, because the terms of service changed for Yahoo and AOL accounts, which are now owned by Verizon, that they can poke through the content of your email and key advertisements to send to you. And this really upset our friend, as well it should. So what do you do? One of your possible solutions is to use an encrypted email service. There are a number of ways to do it. We will post on the website links you can go to, but do a little research. What you might want to do is incorporate the Thunderbird email client as your main client rather than the default email that comes with your computer. Now, I tried to set up a friend of mine with the default email client that comes bundled with Windows 10, and he couldn't quite get it. It wasn't behaving right, so we wound up sending him back to the AOL web interface, which means, of course, every word he types is being sort of accumulated into a database somewhere.
Somehow,
But Thunderbird actually has a fairly easy method of encrypting your email, so it can't be sniffed at as it goes through the company servers. Now, another thing you're going to want to think about is when you first signed up for an ISP from Charter, from AT&T, when you bought a new Apple device, you got a unique email address that is assigned with your account.
Right.
A lot of people don't bother to use that because they are using their portable email. But what you might do, and this is what I recommend to people, is that if you may want to have one or more throwaway accounts.
Yep.
And that's what the address that you give whenever one of these companies demands an email address out of you. You give them ad address, and that becomes your spam catcher. And
right.
then your regular email
tons
is,
of ads and things
yeah,
show up in that.
Your regular email is the one that your friends get.
Right. The one business, legitimate business, you know, whatever. And that one will come in clean without a lot of junky ads and things.
So one of the methods for encrypting your email, the trouble is this takes a little work.
Well, that's, you know, as I've mentioned before, these devices take some maintenance and what have you. It's not, you know, if you want the simple route, your stuff's probably going to be tapped into.
You have to work a little bit, but look up what's called PGP. That's Pretty Good Privacy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a very, it's like a 200, is it either 128 or 256-bit encryption. That it takes something off the order of the NSA to be able to crack. If you're dealing with something that might be of interest to the NSA, then I don't know you and I don't know your name either.
Well, I may know you, but I don't want to know
about
it. Then so you know, it's one of those. If I told you that, then you'd have to disappear.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not quite like or you know.
So we're worried about not just government spying, you know, the black helicopter, tinfoil hat stuff, but just the corporations, Facebook gathering up your data like some kind of big digital vacuum and then selling the aggregate data to, let's say, a Cambridge Analytical
right.
to then target you with specified ads. And there's a lot of people who want to blame the results of the 2016 elections on Facebook, on the Russians, anything to answer the question of how why the election came out the way it did, that it had to be nefarious. Now, I'm not going to change anybody's mind on that. I think it might have been a factor. I don't think it was the only factor.
Attempts to influence things very well could have been used, but
yeah.
then again, maybe not.
Was there influence? Yeah. Was it the only influence? No.
What I find interesting and annoying is that when you go to download a free app, and it could be for anything, and the one that I run into every once in a while is I decide I want to have a new little game, and it's free. A lot of those games are free. Well, they're not that free, because when you go to install it and then open it, it will ask you for access to your phone calls, your contacts list, the this, the that. I said, it's a stupid game.
Right.
Why do you need access to my contacts list and most of all to my phone calls?
So
I don't
can
think so.
Spam your friends.
Exactly. So I say, I don't need this game that much. Bye-bye. And if you deny any of that, of course, you don't have access to
right.
the file. So every time one of these things comes along and you really want to use it, if you deny it, then it says, we're not going to do business with you.
In that case, you might be better off spending the $5.
Right, to get the one that doesn't
the one that doesn't have ads or in-app purchases, which is a big thing.
If you can find them.
Right.
Sometimes they don't have that version, the freebie.
They don't have a paid version.
Yeah, obviously it's more lucrative to gather your information and sell that than it is to get the $5 out of you on a one-time deal up front, and they're making more money on that. It's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know. What does a game need access to this or that for? My photos? Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So here's a neat little guide, and it comes to us from lifehacker.com. And if you search engine Lifehacker, how to encrypt your email, you'll pop up this this article, which really takes you step by step through safeguarding and securing your email, not just because maybe you're doing something nefarious, but because you just don't want the government poking around in all your business.
Well, you don't want the intrusion into your privacy, yeah, is what it amounts to. You know, talking to friends about whatever in your life is between you and your friends. It's nobody else's business.
So here's a scenario, which is kind of an amusing one. Your results may vary. In this scenario, Sam wants to send Jane a secret email love letter that he doesn't want Joe, who is Jane's jealous downstairs neighbor who piggybacks on her Wi-Fi, to see. Now, Jane uses PGP, pretty good privacy, which means she has a public key. Basically, it's a bunch of numbers and letters that uniquely identify her. She's published that on her website for anyone who wants to send her an encrypted email message. Now, Jane also has a private key no one else has, and you need the private key to decrypt the public key. So you see how that works? Somebody encrypts an email to you using your public key and sends it, and it can only be unscrambled by the private key. It's called two-factor encryption.
Right.
And this can be built right into the Thunderbird email app.
In the settings, you can specify these things, I assume.
So what you'll need is the article goes through Thunderbird. There's some add-ons for Thunderbird. There's a number of ways to do this, but if you do a little research, this is what I'd tell my friend to do, is to add Thunderbird to your computer. You probably do this through Outlook, but I have a trust issue with anything Microsoft.
they're after your information.
Yeah, they want to sell your info too. I would get Thunderbird and go with the Mozilla browser. And some people really like Mozilla because they were the first one to come up with the, we're not going to play those annoying videos as soon as they pop up on your computer. Now, Chrome is doing that too, but again,
you have to set it to do that.
Yeah, and Chrome is still siphoning your stuff. So if this is an annoyance for you, now, what if you really want to get crazy about it and you know what you're doing? And this leads into my next story about repurposing old computers. If you have an old, let's say a laptop that was made 7-8 years ago, it's not doing a very good job of running Windows 10, and you want something a little snappier, but do you want to sell this computer that maybe somebody can harvest old information off of, even if you've scrambled the hard drive? You feel guilty about taking the hard drive out and smashing it with a hammer because, well, that just adds junk into the environment, doesn't it?
Yep, that's one school of thought. There could be a lot of those.
And that is the fourth member of our Boomer Tech team, Mocha the dog. And there's people milling around outside, so she is doing her job as a watchdog. Anyway, where was I? Talking about
repurposing computers.
Yeah, repurposing old laptops.
And taking the hard drives out and adding them to the waste stream.
Well, maybe you don't want to do that. So there's a couple of things that you can do with an old PC. And this comes to us from PC Magazine, which really has some interesting articles in it. But this, if it's an old laptop or an old desktop, or even an old tablet, you can do things to avoid having to toss your device out. What a lot of people do, if you're up for a challenge, put a different operating system such as Linux. Now, Linux comes in a lot of different flavors. Brenda has at her work version of Linux on one of her computers because the software they use will only run under Linux, right?
Right.
And that's a paid version called Red Hat, which is a commercialized Linux.
It's a licensed entity for sure.
Now, what a lot of people like is, of course, the Mint version of Linux. A lot of people like Ubuntu. There's others out there, so do a little research and decide which flavor of Linux is best for you. Now, I have people who listen to the show who swear by Linux and say everybody needs to go Linux and leave behind Mac OS and Windows.
Well, they all
it's
have
not the, practical for some people.
Yeah, that's a great idea if you have the ability to do that, but there's reasons there's all these different operating systems out there.
Yeah.
And Linux is not one that's easy to manage, you know, requires some knowledge and a few things like that, so... It sounds like a lovely idea, but it's not.
It's
like
more work than a lot of people want to go
through.
Right.
It requires a lot more maintenance, and you have to learn it. Be back like in the old DOS days. You have to know a lot more about the actual commands to make things work and so on and so forth, which I didn't mind the DOS days. It's just learning another language, but you know, most people like the point and click. We've gotten used to that with the Windows type system, so. But it has its purpose. They all have their purpose and advantages and disadvantages, every one of them.
Now, most of the alternate operating systems are based on various flavors of Linux, which draws its heritage from the original Unix operating system,
right,
which was the king of commercial operating systems for many, many years.
Unix is still around, isn't it?
Yep, Unix is still around, mostly the Linux, which is the open source variants. Like I said, Ubuntu, we mentioned Mint, which they're at the KCNR studios. There's a laptop running Mint. And this is what I was talking about with repurposed computers. Its only job, the only job that little computer has, and it's an old beat up Dell laptop from
ages ago. In computerism.
Its only task is to take the audio from the radio station, encode it, and put it on a live stream that goes out to the world. And that's its only job, and it does that job rather well. So rather than load down your main computer with 15 different tasks, even if it can handle it, it still slows it down. You can take an old computer, because right now, if you've got extra ports in your router, you can just plug this thing in, and it will do specific jobs. Just as I have a tablet, like I said, my old Kindle Fire tablet, I'm using it as a clock. I'm using my old Dell as a recording and playback device.
And some people like the Linux, Unix systems because they're very stable operating systems.
Yes, yes.
They don't fail. Every once in a while, Microsoft has indigestion and throws up. Burps, quits working, that sort of thing. And it's a very complex system.
Yeah.
It's part of the problem. In fact, you had to do a reset on something before we even got on the air with a bit of panic that we'd be able to do that in time.
Well, my Dell computer, which is about 6 years old now, came with Windows 7. It's an i5 computer, fairly powerful, but since I upgraded, quote unquote, to 10, 10 has this irritating habit of, and Brenda goes through this all the time, if you don't have the thing turned on and connected to the web constantly, if you leave it off for a week, you turn it on, and then it suddenly wants to update everything, and all other processes on your computer come to a screaming halt.
Or a major slowdown.
Until it rams the update right down your throat.
And then it makes you wait while you go to turn it off, and then it'll actually install the update.
If you're trying to get out of the house in a hurry and you don't want to leave your laptop running,
you're out of luck.
Or if you fire up the laptop and you're ready to get some work done, and the darn thing just sits there and the hard drive light is flashing.
I've learned to just turn it on and let it sit for 20 or 30 minutes, and then I'll have a lot less frustration. So that's one helpful thing about that is I've just learned that's what I do to stay.
Turn on the computer and then go in the kitchen and make yourself a cup of coffee or some tea or send out for a pizza or something.
Call your friend, talk for a while the computer does its thing.
So when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about other things that you can do with an older computer rather than having it just sit around and occupy and be a dust bucket or whatever, gathering up space. So we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. Again, you can contact KCNR 1460. You can email Bob at BoomerTechRadio.com. boomertechradio@gmail.com or just boomertechradio@gmail.com. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, it's Bob and Brenda with the tech news you can use. Boomer Tech Radio back with Alan Belongi right after the bottom of the hour break.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I received more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio. It's Bob Belongi along with Brenda Belongi, and she's listening with a smile on her face because we are on vacation. We are live in Coos Bay, Oregon, right there on the coast, and we're in a motel right on the highway with the window open. So as we record this, it is Thursday afternoon, so you're probably going to hear some random noise coming through the window. That's the beauty of real radio. Anyway, joining me now,
the locals.
Yes, we're picking up some local flavor. Joining me now via Skype, Alan Belongi, my son, and all-around techie dude. Hey, Alan, how you doing this week?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am good. Your headset sounds good. I think we have a decent connection. Now, interesting thing, we had a little trouble getting the show started because I'm carrying my MacBook with me. And it used to be real easy to record a Skype call on a MacBook, and then Microsoft made some changes, and suddenly it's much more complicated. They want you to use their stuff to record.
Of course they do.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, and the reason for that is they don't want you recording music and other copyrighted material through what's called the analog hole. In other words, looping back the audio so that you recorded a song that, say, you're getting off of Pandora or Spotify, and then making an MP3 out of it. So they put some stuff in the software to make that much more difficult. There are capture programs, but there was nothing for the Mac that I could install quickly. So the workaround is I had another laptop with me, and I'm using that to record the call while we're doing the Skype call on my Mac. So we got stuff everywhere. I got wires all over this table that I wired up in the last couple of minutes. Anyway, Alan always brings us some interesting stories. Microsoft blocked Audacity, which is the free recording program, blocked that from working on Skype. Russia's been doing a little blocking of their own, Alan.
Yeah, Russia's not exactly, you know, well known for its freedom of expression and thought and all that. Recently, they've gone and started mass blocking IP addresses and IP ranges, trying to get in the way of an app that's popular around there called Telegram. It's a regular messaging program, but it's starting to interfere with normal businesses' interaction with their customers, because all of a sudden all sorts of different areas are getting IP blocked from the government, and they're just trying to stop this Telegram program from working because Telegram refused to give them their encryption keys in order to let the government spy on anybody that's actually running the program, since,
right,
of course,
if
Russian
Telegram
government
is-
wants to know.
Yeah.
Wants to know everything that people are saying.
Telegram is a secure messaging app. In other words, you can't just casually peek in and see what people are looking at because the messages are sent in an encrypted manner. So Russia says if you're not going to let us peer into people's private communications because we think that we have that right, well, because they don't have a Fourth Amendment, then we're just not going to let you be here. So it's kind of like China's Great Firewall, right?
In a sense. But the problem is that they're not doing a very good job of actually blocking them. Since they're trying their best to piecemeal block anything that that Telegram uses as an IP address, it's starting to affect all sorts of regular businesses. And it's been described as like carpet bombing IP ranges to try to get Telegram, and so far it's been more or less unsuccessful at actually blocking them, but sure enough disrupting regular businesses,
right,
over there.
Harming legitimate businesses that are trying to conduct, you know, because if their IP address gets caught up in that net, they're not able to do anything.
That's another example of government getting in the way of just regular businesses trying to do that they do, just because they don't want to comply with a demand from them to turn over their customers' information, essentially.
So, surprise, surprise, Russia using Cold War-era thinking, Soviet-era thinking, in the modern world.
You're right.
Oh, dear me. Now, when we were finding our way around Coos Bay, which we have not been to very often, we used a lot of Google Maps. Now, one of the interesting things is that at one point at least, had we blindly followed the little lady's directions, we'd have turned the wrong way onto a one-way street because it had us turning about a block early, you know, turn right onto such and such. And somebody who wasn't paying attention to street signs could have found themselves, you know, and as has been famously occurred a few times, people blindly following the directions and pulling down, driving off the road or driving into a construction site. Also, another thing we noticed yesterday is that there's a little bit of lag between when a new shopping center goes in and the attendant streets, because we were finding a business, and the directions had us going all the way around when we could have just gone straight to the business and turned in. But at the time, apparently, that the Google Maps had been updated, that turn didn't exist. So a couple of problems there. And the other thing is, when you're trying to find, especially if it's dark, you're looking for street signs with, you know, a couple inch high letters. And it's a lot easier if you're looking for a landmark, and now Google is giving us that, right?
Yeah, Google Maps is starting to test the integration of telling you where to turn, not just based on street signs, but based on, like, businesses or landmarks, like turn right after seeing Burger King or keep going straight past the McDonald's or whatever.
The way that a person would tell you directions, basically.
Yeah, it'll start looking for nearby places of interest that are obviously going to be useful landmarks to people to navigate via, you know, sites rather than having to know what the street is named, which is especially helpful when you're trying to get around unfamiliar territory.
Indeed. Handy thing.
They already have all this information anyway, yeah. So it's just trying to get it to do it in a smart manner. Because obviously if it says, you know, turn right at the some business that's in the strip mall over there with a tiny little, you know, storefront, that's not really going to be very helpful.
I noticed one thing this morning. We stopped by a little cafe in a town called Coquille on our way here, and Google Maps was asking me to take pictures of the business and give a rating on it. But it would seem to me that they are increasing their ground truth rather than sending out those cars that make everybody nervous with all the periscopes sticking out of them. They are now gathering information from the vast number of phones that are out there, which is a lot cheaper than sending out the Google scanning car. So I think that's part of their process.
I actually sort of appreciate it being a lot more intrusive about that, because that reminds me to turn off my location whenever I forget to leave it on.
That is true. We're finding it handy on this trip. But one thing we noticed a year ago was the dynamic driving directions that as the traffic patterns change, and of course they're sucking up all this data from all these people using Google Maps. And when a large number of Google Maps users stopped moving, it was obvious there was a traffic jam, and Google would start, it like Waze does, would start routing you around. This happened twice on our trip after we went up to see the eclipse last August. So we ended up on a lot of back roads driving through places we would never have seen otherwise, but we always stayed in motion, whereas Interstate 5 was completely stopped.
That reminds me of a similar story where city planners are starting to get exacerbated because of Google Maps and such, because people are using side roads or, you know, residential districts in ways that the city wasn't designed for. And so, like, these roads that were built with low traffic in mind are now getting a lot more and putting a heck of a lot more wear on roads that, you know, were supposed to get like 2 cars an hour, and how they're getting like 30.
Yeah,
and it's causing some issues for residents, you know, the quiet street, and all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of people running through.
All of a sudden it's an arterial, yeah.
Yeah. So city planners in general are not exactly happy with how Google is letting people more easily find ways that probably shouldn't be going, just because it's not how the city was laid out.
Yeah, not sure how you're going to keep that from happening, though.
Right. I mean, everyone that knew that way, you know, as a local would be using that anyway. But now even people out of town are getting routed through these areas via Google. There's a particular cut through here in town that I take, which I'm certain all the people living there are used to people driving through there. But, yeah, it's just not fun, I'm sure, for them to get all this through traffic when it's supposed to be a quiet little, you know, residential area.
Little backwater. If, of course, when you do this stuff, you want to keep your eyes open. Samsung. Now, there's one of the staples of science fiction, of course, is phones that fold. And the why would you want a phone that folds? Because you want something that'll fit in a pocket or purse, but has a big screen. The obvious solution there is to have a folding type device. Looked, and there's this big race because, of course, when you're folding a screen, you're putting stress on whatever is carrying the electrons from point A to point B. Looks like though Samsung might be coming out with a folding phone before too much more time.
They're hoping to get it out by next year. One of the big, you know, obviously problems with it is getting a phone that folds and the screen doesn't have a giant black line in the middle. That's in addition to, you know, actually keeping all the parts together, because it has to be folded thin enough to actually bend like that. So there's a lot of things to work out with it, but they're fairly confident they can get at least a prototype going by next year. Don't know if it'll actually be available on the market. They don't have, like, a name for it or anything yet, but it'd be interesting to see. You know, us go from flip phones back to, you know, just single screen phones, and then goes back to flip phones, essentially, just much better looking ones.
Okay, here on the show notes, cheating in China using skin colored Bluetooth headsets. What's that all about?
So over in China, there was this guy that essentially sold a guaranteed passing of tests for what the equates to $9,000. And let's see, Tan Jiayan eventually was pleaded guilty to 27 counts of cheating and facilitating cheating from he'd get his students fitted with skin-colored Bluetooth devices hooked up to their ears, and then they'd, like, you know, tape it to their necks, or you really couldn't see it was there, and then it would go down into their vest to connect to a hidden smartphone in there. And at some other place in the building, he'd wire up a little camera to actually see the tests, because these were all, you know, college-level tests. He'd quickly get the answers for the test that he could see, and then call and give people that were in the room that had paid him the answers to the test.
Well, you got to hand him credit for creativity, but he's in a bunch of trouble now.
Yeah. They was caught from, well, you know, obviously at some point a proctor heard something weird from one of the students and confronted him, took him out of the room, and eventually found the smartphone and everything and got traced back to this dude, got prosecuted and all that. It's like, at a certain point, you'd probably have to be fairly conscious that you're going to get caught doing this.
Yeah, everybody thinks they can get away from it. Interesting on your next topic, because one of the station owners there at KCNR, went down to Sacramento and picked up some IKEA furniture. And last I saw, a friend of ours was kneeling down, looking at the diagram with a screwdriver in his hand and scratching his head going, okay, what goes where next? Because there's no words on the instructions.
That's the whole point of the Swedes, I think. Yeah, Swedes thing.
Yeah.
It should be visible and doable by anybody.
Well, he was certainly having some confusion, but the day may be coming when you can, what, hire a robot to put together your IKEA?
Seems a little silly when you could just have them put it together at the factory and then buy it. But anyway, let's see, a couple of robotic arms which look like two regular industrial arms that you've seen in any sort of factory. Through science robotics, put together an IKEA chair. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but the amount of like individual, like just the right amount of pressure to grab it and screw it together and move it around is a lot more complicated for a robot than you would think it would. Humans have a lot of things that they think about whenever they're grabbing, pulling up, putting together, screwing together than you think they do. So the fact that these couple of robotic arms were able to put it together, even with a bit of, you know, guidance from some programmers to know what they were supposed to be doing in the first place, is still pretty impressive. Now, in the future, they're hoping to be able to get it to just scan the instructions of anything in particular, and it could put together without having to help it along so much with programming.
Well, it sounds like it.
In fact, they're hoping that they could get it to look at a finished product and then look at all the parts on the floor and then figure it out from there.
Hey, reverse engineering. Hey, there we go.
And that was the big thing about this, actually. It was able to take pictures of all the parts laying out on the ground and figure out what was supposed to go where. Again, with a little bit of help, but it was able to identify and grab everything it needed to, as long as it was, you know, close enough for its reach.
Interesting. Now, every once in a while, I will pull up a Google map, and it's kind of amusing because, especially in remote areas, they don't update them as often as we think, because a lot of the information comes from Landsat, from NOAA. From sources that don't update very often. Now the two GOES satellites are up, the geosynchronous orbit, and they're giving real-time information, but it's hard to access that. So what's this about live streaming the world?
So Bill Gates, SoftBank, and Airbus are backing an initiative to try to get satellites up in the sky, or atmosphere really, a network of them that can, within only a lag of a couple of seconds hopefully, essentially live stream everything you could see from up there. And it's unknown whether that would be like fully available to anybody when one looks at it.
That sounds like something certain regimes would really not like to see happen.
I definitely not, to be able to look at anything anywhere. But the amount of information you can get from, you know, storm tracking to actual live looking at any sort of conflicts in probably the Middle East, or just, you know, keeping an eye on your house, you know, for quote unquote free would be really interesting. Of course, that's plenty of security problems and, you know, privacy issues. Couldn't have a backyard barbecue without possibly somebody looking at you.
Yeah, and then law enforcement watching your comings and goings. That's a little Orwellian.
Right. Unfortunately, you know, it's the current law is that's all visible from, you know, the sky, which is not protected, unfortunately. So there's not a lot you could do in current law to prevent any of that.
Right. Case law already, and I've had people talk, well, airplanes shouldn't be able to overfly my property, and I'm going to blow that drone out of the sky. Well, in theory, case law has confirmed this, that you actually own only up to about 400 feet above your property.
And even that's only if there's no, like, telephone poles going over
right,
it.
Right, right. And so you cannot, that, for instance, there was an attempt in the 1930s for these Midwest farmers to collect a passage tax from airliners flying all over because their feeling was that they should own that property all the way up to outer space. Well, that's not the case. The courts ruled that except in very specific circumstances, such as government reservations and stuff, a private property owner only goes up, and I think the number was 400 feet. Coincidentally, that is the maximum altitude at which one is allowed to operate a drone, so I'm not sure what the connections are right there. Again, if you are a drone operator, you do have to register your drone. A lot of people still aren't doing that, and you have to be mindful of proximity to airports and such before you send up your little toy.
And if you get anywhere near an airplane, you got some issues going.
You do. If FAA will come and chat with you. Finally, while we're talking about satellites and things that go up and things that go down, what's this guy in India saying that an ancient civilization in India actually invented the internet and satellites and all that?
So I'm going to say his name wrong. Biplab Deb, something like that. She's the chief minister of the northeastern state of Tripura over in India. Is currently getting chided and chastised and laughed at in Indian circles for seemingly suggesting that because of some story about how a folk hero of some sort called Sanjaya was able to give a live accounting of a battle that was taking place many miles away to his king, that he must have had the internet and satellites in order to relay this information to him.
Oh, and here we thought Al Gore invented the internet.
Which is obviously a little bit of a stretch. You'd think it'd be better if he just had, mysticism vision from across the way.
Or
that seems a little more believable, I think.
Conveniently placed aliens like they blame the markings in South America on.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a Twitter backlash against him for making, a fairly ridiculous claim, and he should have gotten called out about that.
People in the microblogosphere are just utterly and completely merciless, I swear. Oh, dear me. So,
they should be against somebody that says India in the year, 200 had internet.
Had an internet connection. How does that work? And apparently, yeah. Obviously, slightly unclear on the whole concept of how the internet works, and having tried to explain how the internet works to a few people, I have a friend who still doesn't quite understand the difference between an email address and a web domain. And it just completely escapes him. Aren't they the same thing? No, not by a long shot. There's a connection.
No.
There's a connection, but they aren't nearly the same thing. But he just can't.
I try to describe it in physical terms. It's like your email address is your mailbox. The web domain is the actual physical address. Like, right. They're related. The mailbox is generally on a physical address, but they're not really the same thing.
Yep, that's one way to describe it. That, and of course, we are analog, living in a digital world. That's the name of the game here on Boomer Tech Radio. Alan, a great great segment as always. Thank you very much for calling us up here on our remote location in beautiful Coos Bay, and I know that people have heard a couple of cars go by, things like that. So Bob and Brenda Belongi and Alan Belongi on Skype, we're finishing up this hour. Come back for the second hour of Boomer Tech Radio right after SRN News at the top of the hour. And we will be back live on Boomer Tech Radio, and we've got top of the hour news. Again, thank you, Jared, there at KCNR for running the show today remote. We've got Town Hall News next.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers to keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques.
For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
From townhall.com, I'm Ron DeRoche. President Trump used his weekly media address to remind us about one of his top priorities.
I want to talk about opioid addiction.
It's a problem the president says requires the government to push back hard against those who peddle illegal drugs.
We have to get really, really tough.
He also called on all Americans to take part in today's National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day.
Most Americans who abuse prescription drugs get them from someone else's leftover prescriptions.
The president says a safe disposal site near you can be found by going to takebackday.dea.gov. Bob Agnew reporting.
A passenger who sat behind the passenger who nearly got sucked out of a Southwest Airlines flight when the engine exploded and sent a piece of shrapnel through the fuselage is now suing the airline and the engine manufacturer, claiming she's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. She says she witnessed the, quote, horror as the force of the depressurization pulled fellow passenger Jennifer Reardon partially through the shattered window. Reardon later died. An E. coli outbreak linked to romaine lettuce has sickened even more people.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced Friday that 98 people in 22 states have now been sickened by a food poisoning outbreak linked to romaine lettuce. Investigators blame the E. coli bacteria outbreak on product grown in the Yuma, Arizona region, but they haven't pinned it down yet. CDC investigator Matthew Wise.
People should still not eat any type of romaine lettuce unless they know for sure it does not come from the Yuma growing region.
Eight of the 98 cases have been traced to Harrison Farms in Yuma, but the FDA is looking at two dozen other farms that may be tied to the illness. Mike Gracia, Washington.
2 days after his conviction, Bill Cosby is confined to his suburban Philadelphia home and has been ordered to be outfitted with a GPS ankle bracelet to monitor compliance. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster.
Want to change how you feel significantly? ReliefFactor.com will do that for you. Support for temporary relief of minor aches and pains. If you're out there exercising, you go a little bit too far, as I did on Saturday, you definitely need Relief Factor on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, I take it every day, as do tens of thousands of people. They know that they should have Omega, which is fish oil, resveratrol, which you can get from drinking red wine, but you don't know how much. I carry and Kirkman all together, carefully calibrated, perfectly formulated, the combination of four natural supplements that everyone agrees you ought to be taking every single day. This makes it easy to do in the amount that is appropriate for your body. The starter pack is $19.95. You try it for 3 weeks. Put everything else away that your doctor says you can put away. Don't not take what he tells you to take. And then see if you don't feel terrific. You'll feel much better. ReliefFactor.com works. Tens of thousands of people say so. Their testimonials are abundant and real and sincere. Go and watch them and then get ReliefFactor.com.
A sick British toddler who had a rare degenerative brain condition that left him with almost no brain function has died after multiple courts ruled that keeping him alive was not in his best interests.
Alfie's case sparked a medical ethics debate that resonated far beyond Britain. Doctors overseeing his care in Liverpool, England, said further treatment was futile and he should be allowed to die. But his parents fought for months to try to convince judges to allow them to take him to Vatican Hospital, where life support would be maintained. Pope Francis, who had publicly supported Alfie's parents' campaign, wrote condolences that were posted on Twitter. "I am deeply moved by the death of little Alfie," Francis said. "Today I pray, especially for his parents, as God the Father receives him in his tender embrace." Karen Chavez, London.
On this date in 1788, Maryland became the seventh state to ratify the Constitution of the United States. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Arizona's first quarter profit more than doubled from a year ago, fueled by the growth of online shopping and the computing service it provides to businesses and government agencies.
Amazon has grown rapidly since its start as an online bookstore in 1995. It makes Echo speakers, designs furniture, and delivers food from restaurants. Online retailing is still its biggest business.
Dennis Crowley reporting. Sales from Amazon's online stores rose 18% to $26.9 billion, accounting for slightly more than half the company's total revenue. A student loan services company has notified some 16,000-plus borrowers that files containing personal data were released to a business that wasn't authorized to receive them. Access Group Education Lending says the data breach happened March 23rd when one of its vendors sent out the files. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
This is an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Boomer Tech Radio.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Analog Living in a Digital World. That's the name of the show. That's what the show is all about. And we are live this week up in Coos Bay, Oregon. Now, the last hour you heard a pre-recorded segment with Alan, and we're doing all this through the miracle of Skype, of course. We recorded the interview yesterday with Alan, and we'll be going back to that repurposed computer thing. I want to remind you real quick that our show is sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Tim and Cody will be seeing us this coming week. We got that light on the dashboard, you know, the little ubiquitous check engine light.
Yeah.
And we ran it in, and they said, well, it's nothing that's going to keep you from safely driving.
Right, it's not going to damage your system.
Yeah. Bring it in when we're back. And that's the kind of thing, you know, that they do is that they have an interest in safe cars in the community. So that's great guys there at and girls. They have a great new what does the new young lady do? They have the service manager who is
I'm not sure, Kayla.
Kayla, and then a new young lady who does some kind of scheduling.
I'm not quite sure what the deal is with that. I haven't figured all that out yet, but they're adding
it's a great team.
They're also looking for an automotive technician to add to their staff as well.
If you are a certified automotive technician and you can pass the various things, go see that there is probably not a better mechanic shop in town to work at than down there than at Advanced.
I think, or maybe they were looking for some shop help, get your foot in the door type thing.
Oh, okay.
Perfect job for a student or what have
you. Like an entry level thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's all working. I lose track because they post these things every once in a while. I want to comment on story during Alan's segment about how Google is adding, you know, turn right at the McDonald's type of directions. Some people now can navigate well by saying go 2.5 miles west, turn right, and then proceed, you know, X number of miles north or what have you, and they do very well with directions like that. But other folks are much more visual navigators, and most everyone can handle that. It's like, oh, turn right at the upcoming McDonald's. Okay. I see the McDonald's, and you can turn right. So, you know, if you listen to Google directions, it's in 1,000 feet, turn right on such and so street. But those visual cues are very common. So how many times have you gotten directions like, well, go down here to the pink house, and then turn left and go for a while until you get to the big blue building.
There by the willow tree.
Yeah, by the willow tree, which to everybody may be the, you know, sacred, remarkable willow tree. But
oh, yeah,
you're driving,
cut down.
Yeah, and so trying to remember those directions are sometimes simpler than, you know, 1.5 miles this way and 2.5 miles that way. But I can handle either one personally. The written directions of 2.5 miles this way and that way is very handy. But now with Google addresses, you know, it'll pretty much take you there one way or another. Or like you said, Google Maps hadn't caught up with some changes in reality.
In Medford,
and I said, why are we going this way? I see where we need to go. Well, that's not where we should have gone. It made me turn right and then turn left and turn left again, and it's
make
like
a big circle.
This is stupid when I could have kept going straight and turned left once. And I knew this from being there, but that had all developed since I had been there last and as the driver. And I didn't know they had all that there. Well, now I know where it is and so on and so forth. But, yeah, it was really interesting. How come it routed? Why did it route us the way it routed us? I
suspect that there was an update that there was construction at that intersection.
It may have been.
And you could not turn that way since then. So ground truth is important. And one of the things that you agree to when you're using Google Maps or Waze or one of those things is that you become part of the data stream.
Right.
Which – when you're sitting around at home, probably, yeah, go ahead and turn your location services off. Never take a picture of your kid, your car, your house, the family jewels with location services turned on. Okay. It's just a bad idea because the exact.
There are people out there who search this stuff down.
The exact location of where that picture was taken is embedded in the picture's metadata unless you have location services turned off. So I have a friend who loves to post pictures of her kid, and I'm telling her, don't be telling the creepy people where your kid is.
Yep.
Just don't do it. Now, does that mean you should cut yourself off from the internet, line your room with aluminum foil?
Well, there's times when having that on, especially when you're navigating through unknown territory, that it's very handy to have location services on because then the system, unfortunately, knows where you are. But then again, it's good that the system knows where you are because it can assist you in that navigation. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting that Google's catching up with human reality and how we navigate that. Going to the pink house and the blue building by the willow tree are good directions to have. Sometimes it's not always easy to watch the odometer, and if your car doesn't have a compass on it, then maybe you don't really know and that sort of thing. And it's hard to watch the screen and drive at the same time, which is why I drive
and
you navigate.
Which will earn you a fine in some areas.
Yes, that's true. But I drive and you navigate because you're much better at getting the navigation thingies to work, and I can drive while you're figuring that out. So,
anyway, before we took the break and we had the segment with Alan, before that, in our very first segment, we were running down a list of things to do with that old PC. Now, one of the tricks that you get, and this is good with old Macs or even old PCs, if you're running a version of Windows 7, or even if you want to load it up with a version of Linux, you can turn it into a NAS, that's Network Attached Storage Home Server. So what if it doesn't run the operating system super fast? It's certainly going to be faster than accessing a server, so you can have your backup files right there on site in a tower, because most towers built in the last several years have bays for at least two, maybe three, if you're lucky, hard drives. And with terabyte hard drives going for cheap, you get a terabyte hard drive for about $100 now that is enterprise grade. You can store a lot of music and movies on your hard drive and be able to call them up as either a file or, you know, as a media server. Another thing that you can do is put together, and you may need some help for this, put together an internet for surfing a computer to surf the web anonymously that doesn't leave little footprints all over the place through a virtual private network. And for some of these things, if you don't know how to do it yourself, there's folks who would be glad to help you. Just be careful who you're giving access to. Another thing that you can do if you have an old laptop is you can actually set up a home security system using the old laptop's cam.
Yep.
This is a thing you're going to want to firewall off pretty good, lest some bad person work their way into your webcam. Now, I know a lot of people who have put sticky notes over the top of their webcams because they don't want people spying on them. In fact, there's this whole weird subculture of very creepy individuals who have figured out how to get into, especially young college women, get into their laptops and activate the cameras remotely. Now, some brands of computers have a light that flashes or a light that comes on when the webcam is active. Others, that can be disabled. And it's really because these hackers refer to the girls whose webcams they have invaded as their slaves.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty creepy stuff.
Sickos. I'm sorry. That's just creepy.
There were those school laptops. Remember the story we covered that was a big brouhaha a couple of years ago where a IT guy with the school was actually inserting spyware. Now, whatever happened to this guy, hopefully, you know, because if the crowd had caught up with him, there probably wouldn't have been much left to prosecute, deservedly so.
Because honor among thieves.
I'm not saying be paranoid, but be vigilant.
Be careful.
This
yeah.
is what I tell people.
Well, you have to set your computer. And, you know, you say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Who could possibly be interested in me? Well, don't leave yourself open to becoming an item of interest, if you want to look at it that way. Like you say, don't be paranoid, but be smart. And obviously there's been plenty of people this has happened to, and I'm sure every one of them said, oh, nobody's interested in me, so I'm not going to bother to look into that. And if you're open and vulnerable and they're looking for you, they'll find it, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, there's whole hacker groups that exchange information about vulnerable computers, and we hit on this real heavy last week. If you have not changed your home router's default settings, do it now.
Yep.
Change that password. Change, set up your firewall. If you don't know how, borrow somebody's 12-year-old.
Well, certainly you can Google that kind of information and find out how to do it. A lot of internet service providers also have tech support and can help you with that sort of thing, especially after you've just initiated a service. You may have a couple weeks' worth of tech support that can help you answer those kind of questions. And kind of have to do your homework, and you kind of have to maintain these things to make sure that you're not vulnerable to some kind of nefarious activity, for sure.
Yeah. So one of the things we did was we wanted to be able to watch some movies. Now, we knew in our hearts that the motel Wi-Fi was going to be really, really slow and really, really bad. And the reason for that is that most of these hotels and restaurants set up their Wi-Fi as a convenience before streaming became a big thing.
Yes, and so they're on an older arrangement, if you will, or simply don't have the bandwidth available through their system to be able to handle the demand that's developed. But in our experience, we found that the hotels in particular, they've set their system up some time ago and just haven't upgraded it.
Yeah.
Or you might be in a location where good service is not available.
Mm-hmm.
That's very possible as well.
So in order to do this broadcast, we're actually resorting to using our 4G connection. But fortunately, if you're doing a long-term video stream, then you're going to probably or if you're trying to download movies, that takes a big chunk out of your the typical movie in high definition. You're eating up about 2 gigabits worth of bandwidth.
Of your
about
data
two and
plan.
A half, 3 gigs worth of bandwidth.
For people that
on
only
data
have
plan.
That. Yeah, yeah, for people that only have that much data plan in their data plan, it's not a good idea.
Right.
You'll get overage charges that are very expensive.
Yeah. Now, we have a fairly – now, a lot of people used to have what were called unlimited data plans, which really weren't unlimited.
Yeah.
And there's a move to – there's some pressure on providers to bring that back. Trouble is, if you have an all-you-can-eat data plan, a few people will set up BitTorrent sites, things like that,
yep.
that will clog up the pipes.
Yep. Schedule things in to run automatically and so on and so forth. That's not what it's intended for.
Yeah. Now, 5G is going to eliminate some of that, but really our data plans are pretty far behind. A lot of countries offer unlimited data plans and have the infrastructure to develop it, but as I have complained numerous times on this program, AT&T and Verizon are not investing heavily enough in expanding their data capabilities so that they can keep these caps on people. Why? Because people will pay more for, you know, people right now are used to paying more for the large data plans. And it's all about the money. So I think eventually that corporate pressure, or the, you know, public pressure on these companies to provide better data plans will prevail, but right now there's no competition for it. And that's a big problem because the road we're headed down right now, there's going to be two major media – well, make it three major media-serving companies. You've got Netflix, you've got Amazon, and soon you will have Disney.
Mm.
And right now, Amazon and Disney control huge amounts, and this will get into a duopoly, controlling huge amounts of content. And when you can control content, you can do some unsavory things, such as
yes.
article in Extreme Tech that Amazon has. The good news is that you can order The Last Jedi, Star Wars movie, on disc. The bad news is you have to be a Prime member paying the $99 a year to even be able to order the disc.
That's a bit sneaky.
Yeah. It is a bit of, it's a way to force people onto Prime. Now, it's also a slap at Disney because eventually Disney plans to yank all those properties, all the Marvel movies. And when they finish buying Fox, that whole catalog goes under their control. So you're going to have these two massive media giants jockeying for market position. Who's going to – and I suspect that Disney, unlike what they did with their overpriced Disney Channel on cable back in the day, they're going to do their best to – my bet is that Disney's access is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a competitive – with Amazon, somewhere in the neighborhood of $99 a year. That seems to be a sweet spot. You know, $10-$12 a month is tolerable for most consumers. That is that you know, now $99 a year works out to about what, $8-something a month.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable in that. Although they went up to, it's not $99 a year anymore, isn't it? Isn't it $109 or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Now, if you're grandfathered in on, but there are occasional specials.
Yeah, that's true, especially if you're new, do not have an Amazon Prime account. They will sometimes run specials and allow you to come in as a newbie for $99 a year.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we've complained about, of course, with cell phone providers, is that the new people who are switching over get the really sweet deals.
Satellite,
but if you've been there is no loyalty discount.
Satellite television, yes.
Well,
there's a loyalty discount in that if you're not a Prime member, you don't get, you know, like free shipping and all these kind of free two-day shipping and things like that. But yeah, anyway.
So one of the things that Prime or that Amazon is doing is that they don't necessarily want to sell you a physical disc. And you want to know why? They would rather you purchased the movie to stream any time. So
right.
You make a – as it is now, you rent the movie once, and we did this with a movie that we brought with us here on my Kindle. It was a one-time download, and then you have 48 hours to watch the movie. Now, in this case, it was free because it was part of my Amazon Prime. But if you rent a movie, and this is something we're going to do at another location in about a weather, really not such good internet, you download the movie onto your device, and it can sit there for up to a month. But once you start viewing it,
right.
you have 48 hours to finish
it.
but you can download and store on your device rather than have physical media, because in years past at this event, we have a thing called Movie Night. We have tried to play back off the web with disastrous results. We tried to last year we used an actual physical DVD, but that's more stuff to carry around. This year, we're going to put a movie onto my Kindle Fire and tie it to the projector and play it back that way. But what Amazon wants you to do is they want you to buy the digital download, and that way, every time you watch that movie, they know it.
Right. They're gathering data.
They are gathering that data. Is this a creepy thing? Yes, and if you want to watch the movie anonymously, you are going to pay for that privilege one way or another. And I suspect that Disney, because Disney is almost as bad as Apple when it comes to paranoia over maintaining control over their properties.
I shake my head. That's just crazy. Who came up with this stuff? I mean, they what did they do in the days when all you had were VHS tapes and DVDs and the like?
Well, the difference is, of course, and this is why DVDs didn't really hit the ground until there were some pretty solid encryption methods to prevent people from making copies. Because a VHS tape, face it, it's not that great to begin with.
Well, no, but it was the thing at the time.
And if you make a copy of it, it's even worse.
True.
You have what's called an analog decay,
but
as you make copies of copies.
When your television wasn't all that
right,
high resolution,
in the days
they
before,
were great.
Yeah.
Video tapes were way better than looking at over-the-air television type of thing. It's just like cable was better than that.
Now, in fact, over-the-air television, especially with the new – by the way, your high-definition TV over the next 5 years that you pick up over-the-air – now, you won't notice this if you get stuff through a cable box, but if you pick up off an over-the-air antenna, the TV you have right now won't work in about 5 years without an additional box, because what's happening is that the FCC is doing what's called spectrum repacking, and they're shifting around the television channels, and the idea is to free up bandwidth for data services.
The other stuff, yeah.
Right. So the ATSC 3.0 is going to be very expensive for broadcasters to implement. That's why it's being done, phased in over a period of time. Eventually, just as your regular click-to-tune analog set became obsolete, we're hitting it again where the conventional ATSC 2, and it will not be backwards compatible. You will have to have a box or an upgradable TV that will can be retuned. Now, some of the new TVs can be upgraded.
Forced obsolescence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that. It's like this whole thing with updates to your phone. That Apple and Samsung and all of them like to push out. You don't hang on to it. They want you to change over your device every 2 years. Well, let me tell you something. When it costs $1,000 for your device, you don't want to change it every 2 years.
Well, yeah, that's a little pricey.
Yeah. So speaking of devices and mobile devices,
there's collect your information.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a story out here from Roadshow posted on the Boomer Tech clipboard. An app called EverDrive has collected data on what people are doing and their driving habits, or bad driving habits as it may be. But according to their information that they've collected on people, two things. Speeding is the number one bad driving habit, and no surprise, it uses things such as GPS, accelerometer, gyroscope, and all that. Whether the screen is on and off, even determine whether you're on your phone or where your phone is and what's going on with it. And speeding is done about 38% of the time. This is no surprise. Mm-hmm. I think all of us may do that in some cases. What's interesting here is drivers in the northeastern part of the country are the most egregious speeders.
Mm.
Why they feel a need for speed is a good question.
Okay,
and,
all I have to do is look around to think that, boy, they must really have a problem, because there are some there's some people who are definitely trying to qualify.
Oh, yeah, for NASCAR or something.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the next most unsafe habit driving habit we have is being on the phones, with about 37% of folks using their devices an average of about 10% of their trips, despite of what the law says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drivers aged 18 to 20 are almost 50% more likely to use their phones while driving, and older drivers are really there. And it's interesting, there's really not a difference between men and women. There's some, but it's women are slightly more inclined to use their phones. Men are slightly more inclined to be speeding. So it's interesting. From a regional standpoint, folks in the Midwest are the safest drivers. People in the South are most likely to use their phones while driving. The West region, which includes California, doesn't even break into the top five for worst driving, which means, oh my God.
Yeah, really?
I better not go to slide. I'm thinking, I see some really bad driving every day in California, so I need to be extra vigilant when I go elsewhere.
Indeed.
Because it apparently is worse out there.
Put the phone down, and we hope we don't put the radio down, because we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour, pay some bills, and be right back with more Boomer Tech Radio after this bottom of the hour break.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles, and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard, because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Real people, real winners. Thanks to you, our royal guests, Wind River Resort and Casino is celebrating 25 years at the river. Prepare yourself for incredible entertainment, promotions, prizes, giveaways, gaming, food, and fun all month long. Over $100,000 in prizes. Don't miss your opportunity to win a tiny house RV. So grab your friends and come celebrate 25 years at the river with us, May 1st through the 31st. There's so much going on. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical, knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends, and a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
And welcome back. It is Boomer Tech Radio for one more segment. We want to thank our sponsors. That would be Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. You'll find them at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Cody and Tim Morlock will take good care of your vehicle. We are broadcasting live for one more segment here before we finish up the top of the hour. We've been throwing out an awful lot of topics today. By the way, you want to contact us, boomertechradio@gmail.com. You go to the website and download episodes of the show at boomertechradio.com. Also, go to the KCNR 1460 archives and download the show for the last several years.
The dog barking has become our theme music here today.
Yeah.
We have decided to do the show live remotely, and we just don't have the theme music going. It's just one more button.
Yeah, one more moving part.
We'll get that down pat next time.
But anyway, a big shout out to George Wood anyway before he didn't write the theme music for us, but we have adopted it as our theme, and you'll hear it on other episodes of this show. Of course, you can go to the Flipboard application on your iOS or Android device. Subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio Magazine. Also, this show is available via podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Tune In Radio. So we seem to have covered all the different ways that you can keep up with the show. We appreciate the feedback from people. What's interesting is that we were at a party recently, and somebody kind of pulled us aside and said, "Hey, we really like your show," and all that. So we did a shout out to them. So that kind of gives us the really neat, cool, fuzzy feedback that makes you feel good, which leads me into our next story. We want to blame Media wants to blame
the device,
the technology, the shiny things with buttons as contributing to the downfall of mankind. Guess again, it's not the gadget.
It's human nature.
It is human nature. Speak up just a little bit there, dear.
Well, I thought I was kind of being loud.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to adjust my mic here a little bit.
An article that appears in Inc. magazine states it's an excessive desire, and you see this with people, an excessive desire to collect microfeedback about ourselves. Experts have found that we're constantly checking for feedback, and it's addictive to want to be affirmed. And let's think about this. Why do – and you can kind of get a little off the rails here, but why does someone stay in a bad relationship? And I have And I had interviewed women who were in abusive relationships. And when you say, "Well, why do you stay with this guy who smacks you around?" And the answer was never, "But I love him." The answer was, "But he loves me." Even though he's showing it in a way that most of us don't understand. So that's that affirmation. That's that feedback. Even if it's the most horrible negative feedback, it's still feedback. And that we naturally crave. And that is the problem, not the devices. The devices are just a conduit.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons that social media such as Snapchat and Instagram are rising in popularity, even though there's been backlash about everything being tracked and logged and sold and so on and so forth. Snapchat and Instagram are beginning to outshine Twitter and certainly Facebook, because it's literally instant feedback on that, and it gives you that microfeedback. The problem comes when these things are negative, because the positive ones are the ones that we all are looking for, that instant positive reward. But if you start getting a lot of negative feedback, that can have effects on your mental health. And this is a true thing. This is not a casual thing.
Body shaming is a big thing, and some people, their thrill, what releases the dopamine into their brain, is to insult or denigrate another person, and that it forms this wicked feedback loop.
So what's interesting, of course, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg was recently in front of Congress hearing, you know, testifying at congressional hearings. And he didn't exactly acknowledge this problem, but a former Facebook executive did, who essentially said that feedback loop from apps like Facebook are contributing to the decay of society in general. I don't know if we'll go that far, but this person did. And the younger you are, the more you crave the reward. So boomers, baby boomers, for whom Boomer Tech Show is named, are possibly not as susceptible to that.
Right.
We didn't grow up to it. So what do you do to maybe help a young person in your life who's kind of gotten in this trap?
It's interesting, because when I post one of my rare witticisms onto Facebook and I check, I don't obsessively check, but well, check back once in a while, and I see the thumbs up or the hearts or the whatever, or the little smiley faces or whatever. I enjoy that, but it doesn't affect my life. But for somebody who grows up with this stuff, who puts the picture on Instagram, who she is posting selfies on her Instagram with quotations that are inspirational. If you've never listened to the millennial song, do it. But the whole thing is that instant feedback, and we crave it immediately, because according to this article, every time somebody gives you an affirmation, it releases a little dopamine into your brain.
And that can definitely get addictive. So since we don't need to be on social media getting micro-affirmations while we're driving, that just is a distraction. One thing people may want to do is schedule their social media sessions. Maybe you have a couple of times during the day that you check on these things. Maybe it's just in the morning, at lunchtime, and then sometime during the evening. Whatever the deal is, you don't have to be constantly connected. What we find is that, you know, if you're waiting in line somewhere at the mall or the store or whatever, it's easy to whip out your phone and check on these things.
Yeah.
If you don't have a data plan, you're not that connected, well, then that's not going to happen. That's another way you can do that, is stay off a data plan on your smartphone, but that's not going to happen. Things. So this person wrote this article in Inc. magazine, and that's INC Inc., not INK, as in the tattoo publications or the like. Recommended taking a digital fast. In other words, this would kill some people. Take an entire month off from your digital media.
There's people who couldn't manage it for a day. In fact, there are some summer camps where they take away devices, and people just go bats.
For a while, until they figure out they can talk to each other. And that's one of the interesting things about how young people socialize and are being socialized, is through digital media as opposed to face-to-face, from studies that have been done. So, of course, your device can be useful and helpful, but being addicted to microfeedback can definitely create some problems.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking around a little bit, now, I have a lot of people who I engage with in the radio show who say, well, I won't have the internet. Now, some people don't understand it. Some people think that it is something that it isn't.
Something it's intrusive.
Right. 34% of U.S. senior citizens do not use the internet and are perfectly fine. Now, I would submit that a century ago, there was a significant number of people who would not use a telephone. Why? Because the idea of having a conversation with somebody who was not standing face to face with you was creepy to them and unnatural. Think about that.
Well, it makes sense.
There are societies that believe, cultures that believe, that when you take a photograph of someone, you are somehow trapping their spirit.
Right.
And this is a very real thing. So I don't see a difference then in fear of the internet. And if you choose not to engage in the online world, well, my father didn't have it, so I don't need it, sort of thinking. Okay, fine. Good on you. Then you're probably not listening to this radio show.
Well, maybe not.
But all things in moderation.
Now, true, I mean.
Down in Anderson, they at the senior center, they have some people who will show you how to use basic internet functions like email, checking up on what the kids are doing and things like that. Even our friend Jack has a limited, although it's a sometimes like pulling teeth, digital footprint in the form of this. He was doing some blogs and things like that. I was helping him with that. But he still is unclear on the difference between an email address and a web domain. So,
right.
The income has a little bit to do with it. People in lower income brackets are less likely to be online. But 34% not using the internet, let's turn that around. It means that 66% are using the internet.
Yep.
Which for now, whether the senior cutoff includes people like me, it doesn't say where senior under the age of 60, 34% of adults under the age of 65. Well, like I said, that means that 66% are using the internet. And when you think about the fact that the internet as we know it didn't exist until, let's be generous, say 20 years ago, that's pretty remarkable.
It's interesting. Age is certainly part of it. And over time, older folks have plugged into it more and more. 55% of Americans over 50 use Facebook. It's funny because the older people have embraced it a little more, and the younger people are leaving it in droves for Instagram and Snapchat.
For the micro affirmations.
Right.
Yeah.
But age isn't the only factor that impacts internet use. Income was a major thing. That about 20% of Americans earning less than $30,000 a year annually staying offline. Well, it's probably because they can't afford to be online. They have higher priorities like beans on the table, getting to work, you know, kids, whatever. But there's also variations in use by education and location. Higher percentages of Americans with lower education levels than those who live in rural areas are offline. Well, I can tell you why the ones in rural areas are offline. They're too busy doing stuff outside.
And your internet sucks.
And the internet is crappy, so you're not going to be there. That's right. And then contrast that to college-educated urban and suburban folks that are quite connected. But it's easier for them to be connected. And who's to say that you have college-educated rural people out there? You know, it's probably not education so much as location and a good connection. So,
but everybody has their own reasons for if they do or do not want to have an online presence. I mean, you could be totally Kaczynski and decide that you're paranoid and they are following you around, or maybe you just don't necessarily care for people, or you have no interest in anything outside your very narrow sphere. Most of us fall somewhere in the middle. Some of us, now there's a group of people, they can't be away from the computer or the handheld device for more than a couple of minutes without going into literal withdrawal symptoms. And then there's people, like I said, who sort of fall in the middle. They just sort of take it or leave it. So, meanwhile, and there have been calls. Yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute. I want to talk about what's happening in China.
Oh, yes.
There have been calls for more regulations in the U.S. over the internet, whether it be content. Congress has dove in with this law that is intended to reduce trafficking, human trafficking, but what it's really doing is chilling content because the law was so broadly and poorly written that anybody who publishes something the least bit racy could be accused of promoting trafficking. Now, recently in China, their large equivalent to Twitter decided to ban all content from gay users. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
There was such a huge backlash, they reversed themselves. But since then, China's president, Deng Xiaoping,
he's the last one, I believe.
Yeah, President Xi.
Yeah, Xi Jinping.
Xi Jinping, yeah. He has been quoted as saying now that China must strengthen its grip on the internet to ensure broader social and economic goals are met.
Stability. Now,
yes, and stability. And stability is a big thing to the Chinese. So it looks like the burst of internet freedom that shows up now and then is going to get sort of Tiananmen. They're going to have a Tiananmen Square of the internet, if you will.
Well, you know, are they, these people also able to get to the dark web, which is not as easily controlled and that sort of thing? And so a company that I'm not sure how you say that, if it's Xinhua or something, Xinhua or something of that nature, the news, which is their state news agency,
yeah.
The comment was that they couldn't let the internet become a platform for disseminating harmful information and stirring up trouble with rumors.
Listen carefully to this.
Which I'm sure was partly in reaction to what goes on in United States media.
And we have senators and congressmen, most of whom have never put their hands on an actual computer or smart device. They have aides to do that for them, passing laws and saying things just like this.
Yep.
The internet has, we have to get a leash on the internet, if you will. Well, I understand that there's an awful lot of very bad stuff happening online. Oh man, is there a lot of bad stuff. There are scams, there is trafficking, there is illegal activity.
There's misinformation.
There's accusations of elections being swung by stuff online. But clamping down on the free exchange of information can very easily cross a line into a totalitarian outlook on that exchange of information. We're already looking at corporations controlling content, restricting content. Look at what Amazon is doing with this DVD thing, forcing you into a membership so that they can more easily track your online presence. Disney is growing, and you want to think of Uncle Walt's company as being a benign thing, but it's all about the exchange of information, which leads to an exchange of power. Am I sounding suddenly a little paranoid?
Well, it's all about money.
You have to kind of find that middle ground. Do we want to become like China? And my answer is, of course, a resounding, oh, hell no. Same with the Russians trying to shut down Telegram, which is a secure messaging app that Alan talked about last hour. Do we want to go down that road and have the government clamp down on the ability to express freely? Now, some people misuse the ability to express freely and say stupid stuff.
That's the double-edged sword of the First Amendment.
You have the right to say stupid stuff. You have the right to hear stupid stuff and say, that's stupid, without an entity, whether it be a corporate entity or a government entity, telling you, oh, no, this is acceptable and that is stupid and that is the way you will think. These are the decisions that as a society we have to make. Are we going to see an absolute free and open internet for the super exchange of information? Probably not. Right now we're still in that Wild West sort of mentality.
Well, along that line, there's also people out there that are using technology to take some bad actors out, if you will.
Yep, and there are people using the technology to do evil things, but there's some counter moves.
Right, and so this comes from Business Insider, and it's posted on the Flipboard. Thank you. I guess Facebook wants to come out, and that's what. But it is two former Facebook engineers founded a company, startup company called Smite. And what they do is they use technology to hunt down people that are, trying to hack into websites, using trickery like spam, manipulating customer support agents, and so on and so forth. And the way they do this is that they using machine learning, or AI, to ferret this stuff out. And so they look for things like content signals. Does the post or ad have a photo? And if so, it uses the AI to determine what the photo is, and it may involve political figures or something like that. And then it also uses behavior signals when someone signs up for a new account and instantly copies and pastes a description about themselves in, as opposed to taking time and care to do that. So it's pre-canned type of stuff. Reputational signals, let's say, is the IP address coming from, say, the Ukraine, for instance. When that's a known source or any other known source of being a source region for nefarious activities. And then there's relationship signals about who's connected to who and where are these clusters of suspicious behavior coming from, like the Ukraine or what have you. So content can be flagged, and bad behavior isn't black and white, but the tech analysis of it, is more objective analysis can sometimes help ferret some of these things out. So it's kind of interesting that while this is going on, there are other things happening. And then rather than cutting sources off, the folks that are doing this and founded Smite, they advocate putting suspicious players in a gray area where they're monitored for more bad behavior, warned, educated before they're cut off. So,
yeah.
That it's like, we know you're there, we know what you're doing, so knock it off or you're going to get terminated,
yeah.
That kind of thing. And so we'll see what happens. But so that's another type of security, if you will, that a corporation has to engage in.
As long as the public, and admittedly the public can be maneuvered into – I have a secure sense that at the end of the day – While a group of people can do group stupid things, at the end of the day, it settles out and cooler heads prevail. And I think a lot of the hysteria over this, quote, influenced election actually downgrades people's inclinations to that at least a significant number of people will say, wait a minute, that doesn't quite ring right for me. I want a little more information. I'm not going to make all my life decisions just based on Fox, based on CNN, based on Facebook. I'm going to gather information from several different sources. This would be known as a scientific method. Gather all available data, don't cherry pick it, and then draw the conclusion based on your available data. Anyway.
Well, as we say all the time, tremendous power and the fabulous things being connected and the information that's available. And at the same time, there's nasty things going on as well.
With great power comes great responsibility. Wasn't
yes.
that? Oh, man, that's a definitely an old saying, but it has never rung truer. We have this capability of tapping into the information that the entire world has to offer. But, of course, you get people who will tend to misuse it. You have people who tend to use who might use it to oppress or control populations. But that's one of the reasons why this show exists and other shows like it, is to empower and encourage folks to look outside the narrow sphere the bubble that they find themselves in and explore a little bit further out into the world.
We attempt to keep you informed about the good and the bad about all this technology that invades our lives.
We educate and we hope entertain here on Boomer Tech Radio. We will be back next week with another great show. Thank you very much for listening. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.